Chapter 7. Warren's New York apartment was on the fourth floor of a brownstone on West 85th Street. Ron planned to get there just around 9 p.m. Warren had called out to Rahway late in the afternoon to remind Ron to bring an extra set of keys in with him just in case he decided to come in early. Actually, it was because Warren and Art planned on being a couple of hours late. It had been Art's idea. When Warren mentioned that Ron might be a little resistant to talking about what was going on with him, Art said they should leave him waiting for a couple of hours, and that way Ron himself would have to accept the notion that he was there for help, because he wanted to be helped. Either that or he would leave. Art had made it clear to Warren that he was interested in helping Ron, if that's what Warren wanted, but he wasn't interested in wasting his time. So the two of them went out for dinner at, say, p.m. They walked through the park and over to a restaurant on 2nd Avenue. Art had just returned from 7 years in Zurich, where he'd been studying at the Jungian Institute. He was now a qualified Jungian analyst. He and Warren had been friends since they shared their adolescence in North Carolina. Art had left for Switzerland just before Warren's wife had given birth to their daughter. He had missed the crazy parts surrounding Warren's divorce and the alimony battles, and even included Warren being thrown in jail. Art had been spending that time like a character from a Thomas Mann novel. When he came back down from the mountains and across the sea, he realized that he was a vastly different person than he'd been when he left. He and Warren had kept up a steady communication of letters during the time of his absence, and Warren never failed to write and to be supportive of everything except for Helga, which is what they talked about during dinner. After meandering around to it, Warren said, "I guess what it comes down to is that I don't understand how you can marry a woman that you're not interested in sleeping with." "That's not exactly what I said," said Art, stroking the obligatory full beard he'd grown in Zurich and peering at Warren through his thick, black-rimmed glasses. "I said that we don't sleep together that often." "I don't understand that." "Hasn't sex gotten the better of you since you were divorced?" "There are a number of things that have contributed to the change of my sex life, but that's surely one of them." "Wouldn't you say that perhaps sex and marriage, unless we're talking about children, don't really have much to do with each other?" "You mean that you'll have affairs with other women?" "Probably, from time to time I will, but I'm not exactly planning on it or making it one of the conditions of our marriage." Warren still didn't like it, but he had too much respect for Art to press things any further. Besides, suppose Art was correct. Ron climbed the four flights of stairs and let himself into the apartment. It was the first time he'd been there without Warren being around. It was a small two-room place that was made even more claustrophobic by floor-to-ceiling bookshelves that Warren had installed over every square inch of wall space, and by the two couches that he'd set up in an L, and the two desks, one for a typewriter and one for longhand, and by the overstuffed reading chair that was wedged up against the radiator. There were corridors that led through the arrangements of furniture and books, but no other floor space. The bedroom contained a large double bed and a dresser, more books, and a gigantic painting of a woman rolled up in a ball and clenching her teeth. Ron stared at the painting and examined the way the artist had made her exposed genitals the center of focus. He studied the detail of the exposed vagina and wondered if Warren found the picture erotic. He made himself a cup of instant coffee and thought briefly about the fact that he hadn't eaten since the dinner the night before, and probably not for a day or so before that. Didn't matter that much. He wasn't hungry. He scanned the book titles as he walked around the apartment with the coffee cup in his hand. He opened the desk drawers and looked in the closet. Then he just sat down in the reading chair and waited. Warren's things had the feel that a teacher's objects have for a student. Ron would always probably be one of his students. It had been Warren that had grabbed hold of Ron when he was running wild, without a sense of direction and purpose, and convinced him that he had talent and insight that he was wasting. More than anyone else, Warren had given him the inspiration to study literature and to write. Having given Ron that, Warren had earned the right to be excused for a whole lot of other stuff. Ron was more than willing to put up with an amount of abuse from Warren. He knew that he wasn't easy to teach. He had seen enough teachers give up on him in the past to know that he was no picnic in the park. It felt as if he was there for a very long time. He thought about driving back to Rahway to catch the end of rock and roll band practice. But he'd come this far and found it very difficult to get out of the chair. When he finished with his coffee, he put his head back and closed his eyes. The apartment was very warm, and Ron hadn't thought to open any of the windows. He felt some perspiration run down the side of his face, but he didn't move or open his eyes. He was still sitting that way when he heard Warren's voice on the stairs. He must have dozed off because the voice startled him. Got a little nervous, looked around to make sure that he hadn't disturbed anything. He saw that he'd left the top off the coffee jar, and there was a roach on the counter inside the top. Ron got out of his chair and crossed to the sink. He was squishing the roach in between his fingers when Warren and Art walked into the room. "Good," said Warren. "You're here." "Did I get my times mixed up?" Ron flicked the roach into a garbage pail and looked back up the electric clock on the wall over the sink. "No, we just had things take a little longer than we expected them to." Ron nodded. "How are you, Art?" He extended his hand, and Art Collins took it in his after staring at it for a long second. "I'm going to make some coffee, and then maybe we should go out on the balcony," said Warren. The balcony was a rooftop that was outside of Warren's bedroom window. He unlocked the metal gate and drew it back with several jerks and creaks. They stepped out of the window and found some chairs and a table set up on the roof. The adjoining backyards of the several other brownstones had created this tree and vine-filled canyon that was totally hidden from any access to the street. They sat in their chairs and Warren came out with coffee. He and Art hadn't said anything to each other while Warren was gone. Ron stared up at the trees and the rooftops. From where he was sitting, he could also look down to the ground. It flashed through his head that if he made one impulsive leap, that his life might just be over, and that maybe that would be a good thing. He stared into the darkness and the dirt and thought that it looked quite comforting. "Ron's just back from Minneapolis a couple of days ago," said Warren, "for openers." "How was it out there?" asked Art. "Beautiful," said Ron. "The city is filled with lakes, and at the end of each day, they pump classical music out of the bus stop enclosures. Between that and the fountains, it feels wonderful. And the streets are clean, and, I don't know, I guess I saw it at the best time of the year, summertime, you know." "Why did you come back?" said Art. "Things hadn't really worked out the way that I thought they would." Warren put his feet up and sipped his coffee. How did you expect them to work? He asked. You know, with Robin. Tell me about Robin, said Mark. How would you describe her? I don't think that I've ever met her. He glanced over to Warren, who shook his head no. She's very pretty, said Ron. About 5'2" and has real blonde hair and high cheekbones and a wonderful imagination and a sense of beauty of the world. Does she have big tits? Said Art. Ron stared at him and didn't answer. Does she have big tits? Art repeated. Yes, said Ron in a very soft voice. And a nice tight ass? Yes. And a naturally blonde pussy, huh? Why are you talking about her like that? Said Ron. What do you mean? Said Warren. He's asking me to describe her like a fuck. I don't think about her that way. Did you ever? Said Art. Ron put his head down and his voice got small again. Yes? You sound like you're ashamed of it, said Warren. I am a bit. When did Robin stop sleeping with you? Asked Art. Ron recounted the story that he told Chris earlier that afternoon. He stared at his feet as he talked and spoke in the same small voice that he'd been using earlier. They listened quietly. Warren had expected something like this, but when Ron got to the part about her fucking all night long with Ron in the next room, his mouth fell open. What happened the next day? Said Warren. I tried to talk her out of seeing him anymore. Why didn't you leave? Said Art. Because I love her, and I thought it would stop. Did it? Well, he didn't spend the night anymore, and she would let me know when he was coming over, and I would go out. She didn't have to have him stay the night again, said Warren. She knew what it would do to you after the first time. I don't think that she was trying to hurt me, said Ron. Warren yelped, You don't? What do you think she was trying to do? She just got in over her head. She was trying to kill you, and she almost did, Warren snarled as he spoke. She wouldn't do that on purpose. At this point, Art started singing very softly. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Warren laughed. When Art got to the chorus, Warren joined in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves. Ron's eyes grew dark, staring at their smiling faces in the night. He looked over the ledge of the roof and thought again about leaping off. Why are you guys doing that? He asked softly. You're the one that's done it, said Art. What do you mean? I mean that you want to be like Jesus, so that you don't have to face what's going on inside of you. Ron didn't know what to say, put his head down. Art began to sing again. Ron wanted him to stop, but he didn't. Finally, he said, Maybe I should just go. He started to get up and heard Warren's voice, strong and harsh, say, Sit down and listen. What's happened to you was that you wanted to kill her and didn't know what to do about it. So you've shut everything down. That's why you can't eat. That's why you don't have your own voice or your own vocabulary. You took your soul, or at least your balls, which in your case is almost the same thing. Your body saw what you were doing and got sick at the very thought of it. I never thought about hurting her. I deserved this. I did some really rotten things to Robin. Yes, Jesus loves me, sang Art. Finally, Ron said, "That sucks, and I wish you'd stop it." "What's the matter with being like Jesus?" said Art. "That's not what I mean. I'm nothing like Jesus. You're just mocking me." "I'll bet you're becoming more like Jesus every day. You're fasting, aren't you? And you're celibate too, I suppose." Ron sat there quietly and hoped that Art would stop. A guy like Art would never understand what the feelings he had for Robin were like. "Do you know," Warren said to Art, "the night before he left for Minnesota, he sang a song that he wrote about me that kicked the shit out of me, better than I can remember anyone doing in quite a while. He was sleeping with at least 2 good-looking women, teaching 2 courses at his college while he was taking his master's degree. He'd learned more about teaching in 1 semester than most people learn in years. And look at him now. No wonder his body got sick at the thought of what he was doing." "I was unhappy," said Ron. "You could have fooled me," said Warren. "Are you happier now that you don't have your balls anymore?" asked Art. "I've still got my balls," said Ron in a very weary voice. "She's got them," said Art. "And she will never let you use them, is my bet." "What do you mean?" "She owns you." The conversation continues like this for more hours. They drank coffee and talked until the sky got light. Art told Ron that Robin was kind of a witch. Now that she was through with him as a lover, she wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be good for anyone else. And that way, she would continue to control him for the rest of his life, because no woman would ever measure up to the way he felt about her, because she owned his balls. "She's going to be here next week," said Ron. "Of course," said Art. "She wants to watch you while she plays with your balls. Maybe it's because she loves me." "How could she love you?" said Warren angrily. "Look at what you've done and what you're doing to yourself." Art said that they had made all the progress that they were going to be able to make for one night, and that they should talk again over the weekend. Warren said that Ron should try to concentrate on being able to eat and on building up some of his strength. "You wouldn't know what to look at him now, but somewhere inside of that mess is still quite a man." Ron smiled. It was the nicest thing that Warren had ever said to him.